summer's almost over. And we're waiting, well, when the heat, yeah, some of this heat. We're waiting for lots of new things that are about to start in the fall. So what are you waiting for? You find out what class you're going to be in? Start a new job, maybe? Maybe move? Maybe something else? When you're waiting for the unknown to resolve, or even for something that you know is about to happen, like a surgery, when you're waiting, we often feel like we can join Jesus in saying, "What stress am I under until it's completed?" Even Jesus had trouble living with that kind of tension. Whether it's a nice thing that we're anticipating, or if it's something we dread, like an impending confrontation or a conflict scene, that unresolved tension is still a source of stress. Trusting God doesn't insulate us from that stress. Jesus admits to it. And the prophet Jeremiah voiced it. "How long, O Lord?" he cries. And the writer of Hebrews reminds us that all of those other giants of the faith that he lists who died, some of them in terrible agony and gruesome deaths, and yet they kept the faith in God's promises, even though they never received those promises for themselves in their lifetimes. As a disciple of Jesus, that tension of waiting in faith and hope is not a very comfortable place to be. We can't even look at our calendar and see where God's deadline for absolute peace on earth is going to occur and say, okay, just have to make it that far and then all will be well. Jesus understands that as followers of the Prince of Peace, we're destined to live with division and conflict, live in the tension of the not yet peaceable kingdom. Jesus' baptism plunged him into the human condition that we live with. And in sharing it, he shares with us the tension that's created by unresolved conflict. Jesus shares our humanity, enters it, lives in it, just as we must. So you think he'd understand that we would love for him to take away the conflict and give us peace. And he says he's not going to. And we look at him and say, Jesus, what is it about the Savior title that you're not getting? We want peace. But do we want peace at any price? Jesus lived in a world controlled by the Pax Romana, Peace of Rome. The Roman Empire enforced peace by that use of force and by threatening violence to anyone who got in the way of Rome's control. That peace made trade safe, people prospered, less treasure was expended in destructive wars. But it was bought at the price of high taxes on the poor, of hierarchy, of abuse of the weak, of control over people's lives, the loss of their freedom, and always the threat of force for those who didn't comply and those who protested. And it's the same rationale and methods that are used by governmental powers today. Peace imposed through force. Consider Hong Kong, Kashmir. You can add your own. We want peace. Peace is a good thing. I mean, even I heard people that had lived under ISIS control saying, well, you know, it wasn't so bad, because the streets were safe. As the world says, we can have peace and we'll bring it through victory in battle, or through Twitter fights, or through our courts. But victory. Jesus, on the other hand, says, peace will come when you stop fighting because you love someone too much to harm them. Peace in weakness. Well, that difference of approach in itself brings conflict. The people who disagreed with Jesus about that crucified him, resolving their conflict with him through violence. They attacked him, and he refused to meet violence with violence. He made peace with them by submitting to their force, a method that was too much for his disciples, who wanted to use swords. And that method of peacemaking, peace through weakness, may be just too much for you too. And so we are in conflict with Jesus. No wonder he tells us he hasn't come to bring peace. Knowing that Jesus expects conflict among his followers and that he refuses solutions by force, what are we supposed to do when we disagree? Well, one thing we can do is listen to each other with open minds and hearts, and we can trust God to be at work in the conflict by keeping the relationship going. We can resist our impulse to control the outcome and be open to considering alternatives. That's our real sin, trying to control what God may be calling someone else to do, by insisting that they obey our oughts. You can listen to God's word and how you hear it. You can also listen to others and how they're hearing it. As Jeremiah writes, God says, my word is like a hammer that breaks rock. Not only the rock of our own selfish hard-heartedness, but the rock of our stubbornness in hearing the position of other people in God's family. We claim righteous rightness because of what we hear God calling us to do, without considering that God may be calling another person to something different, whether it's a way of worship or a way of dealing with a social problem. And because we claim righteousness for our opinion, we expect to control what other people think and do, because we're right, after all. And thus, we get division. Someone once asked, with all the different peace groups around the world, why hasn't the world become more peaceful? And the answer that was given was that each group wanted their own kind of peace. They wanted world peace on their own terms in their own way. And that could put these different peace groups in conflict with each other. In other words, if you really want to cause conflict, work for peace. The same could be said of our different denominations and congregations. Each one says, we want the world to know Christ and be Christian, as long as it's our kind of Christian. In the first century, when Jesus' words in the gospel were written down, people were just as literal about controlling another's faith, to the point of expelling a person who became Christian from the family. Even today, you probably know someone for whom marrying outside their faith would mean being cut off from their family and their culture. It may not be that extreme in your family, but you here have given up some time on Sunday morning, and because you've done that, you may have to deal with family members who chide you because saying yes to the church means saying no to something your family may have wanted to do or an event. Sometimes it may not even be possible to harmonize the different demands. Sometimes we just simply need to recognize the division and opt not for the other person to submit to our position, but to opt for reconciliation. And that means understanding while not agreeing with the other. It means being willing to leave our silos and our echo chambers and acknowledge that human dignity that is there for those that we disagree with. And that means trusting God, that the gospel that's preached into the life of an individual person will do its work. Trust God to do what God does. And trust God that God's Spirit will speak to different people differently. We will all hear it differently, and because we're all sinners, we will all make mistakes in interpreting what the Spirit is saying. And those mistakes will result in conflict. Conflict that distresses us, and mistakes for which we repent. Yet because mistakes and conflict and sin continue, because of that, we don't have perfect reconciliation either. And we don't have the peace for which we long. We live in a time between repentance, acknowledging our sin, and reconciliation. Working toward reconciliation is how we follow Christ. For all of us, Christ's perfect work of reconciliation, that's our hope. Living like Jesus creates division as we try to follow and try to discern what that means. Yeah? We don't have peace. But we have joy. Following Jesus brings joy. Because the one who sends us out was himself baptized by the fire of conflict and division, and he gets it. We come to church to be reminded of our identity as God's beloved. And we're sent out again in mission to tell others in word and deed that God loves them as well. We are sent to offer reconciliation to those who may not offer it to us. And that's how we follow Christ. We can only do it because he first reconciled himself to us, for which we can say, thanks be to God. Amen.